Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are joined now by the retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Thanks so much for joining us, Colonel. We appreciate your time.
It's a real pleasure to be with you. Thanks.
So can you kind of set the stage, a 101 simple look at what is taking place in Iran and why all of a sudden this is becoming a much more intense situation with the United States?
So it's real quickly, its origins are with the Obama administration in agreeing to this nuclear deal with European powers in Iran to restrict the growth of Iran's nuclear program. Many critics said that was flawed because it did nothing to dismantle the program, and it also did nothing to address Iranian support to terrorist groups throughout the Middle East and their development of other military capabilities like rockets and missiles and those sorts of things. So roll forward. Trump administration comes in, withdraws from the deal because of these serial violations that Iran had perpetuated, continued support to terrorist activities against Israel and elsewhere, and they clamped sanctions on the sale of oil and restricted access for Iran to the global finance markets. Iran is now responding to that, like a child who's told that they can't have something, and so they got violent. They've attacked upwards of six tankers. Oil tankers, they've supported the Houthi rebels in attacks on Saudi oil infrastructure. And these last two that we've seen have really spurred global attention because Iran has in many ways been caught in the act, trying to take away unexploded ordnance, capturing some of the tanker crewmen on one of the two tankers, and refusing to allow tugboats to take one of the stricken tankers back into port where it could be repaired. So we've kind of reached a point where Iranian violence is being met with counterforce or threats by the Trump administration, and we're going to have to see how Iran continues to respond to that.
According to Fox News, Iran is set to break its uranium stockpile limit set by the nuclear deal within 10 days, and also the spokesperson said that they are acknowledging that Iran has already quadrupled its production of low-enriched uranium. That is something, just as somebody who doesn't know all the ins and outs and the details. Those are all very scary words for people to hear. What does that really mean, and what kind of threat is it to the United States?
Well, it's actually nuclear blackmail. So Iran is saying, if you don't allow us to have our way, we're going to enrich the uranium that we produce from a very low grade of enrichment useful in civilian power plants to a higher order of enrichment that's useful for the manufacture of nuclear weapons. So they're saying, if you don't let us want to do what we want to do, we're going to develop nuclear weapons. And that has everybody on edge, because a nuclear-armed Iran more emboldened to support terror groups, the terror groups that it supports more emboldened to behave more violently, because it's much more difficult to deal with a nuclear-armed adversary, as we're seeing in North Korea. So whereas the international community had promised to provide fissile uranium for use in nuclear power plants, to take away the byproducts produced by a nuclear plant, that's not good enough for the Iranians. And so, you know, they're wagging this nuclear stick, saying we want our way. And we'll just have to see if the Trump administration holds the line on this and whether the international community, especially the Europeans, come to the support of the United States in our position.
We're speaking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, an expert on Iran and foreign policy. We've seen quite a bit of President Trump's diplomatic and economic foreign policy in action. We've seen sanctions with various places around the globe, and certainly there have been sanctions on this region as well. Do you think that that is how this is going to continue to play out with this administration and their reaction to these events, or do you see this escalating to another level?
No, I think they prefer the economic and the diplomatic tool, but diplomatic words don't have any impact if there's not military force behind them. You know, some kind of a consequence. If you won't talk, then we'll have to take action. So the military and the diplomatic go hand in hand. The economic tool really strikes home. Do people are able to engage in the marketplace? Do you have jobs? You know, what are the state revenues that provides various subsidies for populations? And so it's a very powerful tool because it has a fairly quick effect. So this is the avenue that the Trump administration is going down. Certainly this administration doesn't want to get involved in a war in the Middle East when they've been trying so hard to get out of those wars. And as you've probably noted in previous programs, this global competition with major powers, the United States dealing with Russia, the United States dealing with China, you don't want to bleed attention away from that by getting embroiled in yet another conflict in the Middle East. So I think the flow of military force to the region is a clear signal that if we can't talk about this, and we can't deal with this in other ways, then the military option is always present, and it's an effort to get them to talk instead of to fight.
Is Iran trying to get the attention of the United States? What is their goal when they're attacking these tankers? What are they trying to do?
No, it's absolutely, as you just said, it's an indirect approach to get the United States' attention and really to pressure other countries to pressure the United States. So we produce enough of our own energy that we're not dependent on Middle Eastern oil. The Asia-Pacific region is, and to some extent, the European economies are. And so by attacking tankers, it drives up the cost of oil that has a negative economic impact on all these other countries, as well as increasing the amount of revenue that Iran does get for the amount of oil that they can get out of their area. So if you're causing pain for friends of the United States, the thought would be that those friends, Germany, France, the Great Britain, and others, come back to the United States and says, hey, knock it off. Your actions and this maximum pressure economically is having consequences that affect us. So I think that's ultimately Iran's end game, is to cause pain for others so that they influence the United States.
And the leadership of Iran, I think people, especially over the course of the last, 20 years or so, get it's very confusing to know who's leading and whose influences and authority in the Middle East exist in the present. What is the Iranian government looking to do? Just gain authority and prestige over that area, or who's behind the efforts here?
Yeah, I think that there are three courses. One is just personal power. You know, people who get into positions of power want to maintain that hold on power. So it's regime stability and longevity with the religious leaders in Tehran. Number two is, if they're true believers, then it's the imposition or the spread of a Shia version of Islam over the Sunni version. So you see this clash between Shia, Persian, Iran, with Sunni, Arab, Saudi Arabia. And so that's the second component. And the third one is really just expanding that influence. You know, as a very proud nation state that culturally has roots all the way back to the Persian Empire, they would like to see their influence across the Middle East and potentially up into Europe as well. So I think on those three fronts, the current regime in Tehran, hold on power, spread of their religious identity across Islam, and then a re-extension of this Persian Empire kind of control and glory over the greater Middle East.
Last question for you. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Is Iran receiving any support from any foreign entities in their efforts so far?
Well, anybody who's opposed to the United States is going to get the support from entities like North Korea, China, and Russia. So, I mean, in the great global contest among these competing things, you know, perhaps Russia doesn't agree with Iran and their methods and techniques, but if it's causing problems for the United States, I think Vladimir Putin views that to his favor. And if you're China, you would rather the United States be distracted with things in the Middle East and contesting regions in the Indo-Pacific region. So they will get diplomatic support in the United Nations and in these kind of court of world opinions, painting the United States as a bad guy.
That sounds like the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of
stuff.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. It's a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you for explaining that to us. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you
again. My pleasure.
Soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.